Lee's head shifted slightly, imperceptibly. His eyes shifted. He had been set. Now he turned, looked away, looked down at the ground, then east again. After a moment, he said, "You say there is cavalry moving on your right? In what force? Two brigades, at least. You have that from Gori?"
"Yes, sir."
Lee nodded. "Gori is accurate," he said. He sat pondering.
"General," Longstreet said slowly, "it is my considered opinion that a frontal assault here would be a disaster."
Lee turned, frowned. The dark eyes flared for a moment, but he said nothing. Longstreet thought,
"I do not want to hurt this man."
He said slowly, "They are well entrenched. They mean to fight. They have good artillery and plenty of it. Any attack will be uphill over open ground. General, this is a bad position. Have you ever seen a worse position? Here we are in a long line spread all around them, a line 5 miles long. How can we coordinate an attack? They're massed all together, damn near in a circle. Anywhere we hit them, they can bring reinforcements in a matter of minutes, and they can move up reinforcement behind those hills, out of sight of our cannon. But if we try to move in support, it has to come from miles off, and their cannon can see every move. Hell, their cannon are looking down at us right now. General Lee, sir, this is not a good position."
Lee said, "They will break." He said it very softly. Longstreet barely heard him.
"Sir? Sir?"
"They will break," Lee repeated. "In any case, there is no alternative."
"Sir, I do not think so."
"I am making him angry." Lee turned and looked at him. But there was a difference in the face now. The weariness was suddenly apparent. The old man had lost control for a moment, and the pain was there. The exhaustion dulled the eyes. Longstreet felt a surge of emotion. He wanted to reach out and touch the old man, but that was impossible. You could not show affection here. No place for it here. Too many men will die. Must think clearly. But all the while he felt an icy despair, a cold, dead place like dead skin. And then the guns began, cannon booming off to the left where Ewell was. Longstreet swung in his saddle, saw A.P. Hill coming up, chatting with Pickett, and heads all turning at the sound of the guns. And now Lee's face was aflame, an anger Longstreet had never seen before contorted the old man's face. He pulled his horse savagely, almost snarled. "What is Ewell up to? In God's name, can he follow no order at all?" Lee galloped off to the left. Longstreet remained behind. Pickett came up, good cheer in his eye, babbling that his boys had been up for hours, and what was the plan? Longstreet said,
"Nothing."
And they recognized the mood and left him alone. Fits of weariness began to pass over Longstreet, as clouds pass over and dull the heat. Colonel Marshall came back from Lee. The word was that the Federals had opened an attack on Ewell just as he was getting set. So, at least Ewell hadn't gone off half-cocked.
No. But what does Lee expect? How can we coordinate across all these miles? And now Meade is attacking. Good. Very good. Meade begins to stir himself. Now that's excellent indeed. Given a bit of luck now, we can lure him down out of those damn bloody rocks. He's moving on my flank now. Good. Very good. Let him come. Let him come. And then when his arm is out far enough, when his nose is extended, I will chop it off with a chop they'll feel in London.
Lee was coming back. The sun was beginning to break through, the mist was rising. Lee rode slowly up, slouched a bit, no longer quite so trim.
He smiled a haggard smile. Longstreet thought.
He got mad at Ewell. Now he's embarrassed.
Lee said, No need for hurry now. General Ewell is engaged. General Meade has made a move. I must confess I did not expect it. He pointed. We'll ride forward.